This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll talk about 10 African Americans who were pioneers in the U.S. space program. And in Focus on Technology, an old technology sheds light on a current safety issue. First up, the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport plays a crucial role in the economic vitality of our region. But how the airport is managed has been up for debate for some time now. A bill that would reform the Kenton County Airport Board was being reviewed in the Kentucky General Assembly, but it appears dead now. And joining us to discuss how the airport could be governed in the future are Kenton County Judge Executive Chris Knockelman, Hamilton County Commissioner Todd Portoon, and James Pilcher, Northern Kentucky reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. And good afternoon, Chris, Todd, and James. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
James, there was a bill making its way through the Kentucky House that dealt with the governance of the airport, and it appears to have stalled now. What were the elements of this bill? What was it trying to accomplish?
Well, I think what it was trying to accomplish was to spread out the influence or who actually has say over the management of the airport. As a little bit of background, Kenton County owns the airport. It started it in the 1940s. It was an old Army airfield. It bought the land in Boone County and got some federal money thanks to Brent Spence, for whom the Brent Spence Bridge is named. And they started the airport back in the late 40s. The airlines quickly left Lunkin, which was having major flooding and fog issues, and started using CVG instead and along throughout the 50s. So that's just a little bit of background. Obviously, some of the political and spending issues brought the current governance that have gone on over the last couple of years have brought the current governance structure to light. Right now, there's an executive board that only has 7 members. They're all appointed by the judge executive of Kenton County. And there is an advisory board, but while those people are appointed by different jurisdictions, including Cincinnati and Hamilton County and the surrounding counties in Kentucky, they don't have a final say on the final versions of votes. They can vote in committee. They can't vote in the final version. So this new bill would get rid of that advisory board and expand the board to 13 members under this new proposed bill. The Kenton County would keep 8 seats, but then the Boone County would get 2 seats because they get to appoint 2 seats because it sits in Boone County. Grant County and Campbell County would each get 1 seat, and then the governor of Ohio would get a seat.
Governor of Kentucky.
Now, there is a stipulation. What's that?
There's governor of Kentucky would have the seat.
Governor of Kentucky, yes, exactly. I'm sorry. Thanks for the clarification.
Thanks, Chris.
And there is a stipulation in the bill that says that if they're so inclined, the judge executive and the fiscal court of Kenton County can take a recommendation for a seat apiece from Cincinnati and Hamilton County in Ohio. They're only recommendations. They can choose to accept them or reject them, and those people have to be citizens of Kentucky. There's some feeling or some legal precedent that some people cite that to be on a major board in the state, you have to be a resident of Kentucky. Other boards don't follow that same stipulation, including UK and some of the others. But anyways, it's in there, and so forth. So I guess that, you know, it's a bottom line, and Judge Knockelman might even be better because he was involved in the making, the nuts and bolts of making this. But from my understanding, the bottom line goal of this is to get the power over the airport, keep Kenton County having the majority of the power, but recognize the airport as the regional asset that it is, and keep the power out of the person, out of the hands of one person, which is the way it used to be.
That's correct. And actually, to add on to what James has commented on, is we formed a task force of community leaders and business leaders from both sides of the river. And out of that task force came a proposal, which originally was 11 members. It's now been proposed to be 13 members, as James pointed out. But the net effect was a recommendation that we thought everyone could live with. And when we went to Frankfurt and built a bill that hopefully would bring about some needed change in the structure of the board.
Well, Chris, tell us some more.
I'm sorry to interrupt. And this also came after it was kind of shaped also by the recommendations of the state auditor, Adam Edelin, who came in and made these recommendations to change the board after his special investigation into all of the spending and the power struggles that were going on at the airport. There was some alleged nepotism and things like that. So, that was kind of the starting point for some of this, and he came into the investigation, recommended this, and then, like Judge said, he took it, created a task force, and this is what they came up with, and that's what's been proposed here in the General Assembly.
James, this bill had strong support in the House committee that passed it. So what happened along the way?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. It's not dead yet, and to paraphrase Monty Python, but it's on life support. From what I understand, Representative Arnold Simpson of Covington, who feels he has Kenton County's best interests at heart, says that he thinks Kenton County should be reimbursed for giving up its control of the airport. He also says, why pick on us when other airport boards like Lexington and Louisville don't have the same kind of structure? So he voted no in transportation, in the transportation committee. He was the lone no vote. It was a 17-1 vote. And so from what I understand, he was able to convince the House Majority Leader, Rocky Adkins, to say, hey, we want to put the brakes on this and whatever, as well as the fact that it did come to the House late. It only passed committee last week, and as we all know, the session expires on Wednesday, and they've got some pretty big fish to fry. So that's the only time they can pass anything into law. So, so the combination of the timing and I think, you know, Representative Simpson whispering in the House leadership's ears a little bit, and there might be, and this is me supposing, but there might be a little bit of, okay, we'll get you this time. We know you lost on the toll issue on the Brent Spence Bridge earlier this session, so maybe we'll let you slide on this one and bring it back next year.
Chris, you obviously were a supporter of this proposal, and James mentioned earlier that one of the things that spurred it was the audit that was done by Adam Edelin. Why is it so important? What are some other issues that make it so important to reform how this board is governed?
Well, I think foremost is the issue of having a unilateral appointment. I don't think there is no board presently in the county that allows for one individual to appoint every person without ratification by the fiscal court. And it is historical, as a number of people have pointed out, that that's just the way it's always been done in Kenton County. And oftentimes there have been a very productive and a very aggressive board that has done some great work through the decades past. But the problem is, moving forward, we just needed to have a stronger oversight. So on multiple levels, the judge executive should not be able to do that individually. And as you can imagine, this is something that I now have the ability to do. So some people are saying, well, why are you supporting a bill that takes away your influence and power? Ultimately, it's the right thing to do for Kentucky, and it's the right thing to do for Northern Kentucky and the entire region.
Todd, I'd like to get your reaction to all this, the issue of governance and what's going on.
Well, first of all, I do agree that the idea of expanding or broadening the reach of those that have a say in the appointments to the governing structure of the airport board is a good thing and is the right direction to go. There's no doubt that the more voices you have that are involved in appointing the decision makers who you want to represent this regional asset in a regional way, the better. The problem that I saw and that others that I've spoken with on the northern side of the Ohio River, if you will, see with this legislation is that in the guise of expanding the reach, if you will, it actually takes a step backwards from a regional perspective and narrows the scope of those that will be having a say in governance of an asset that is one of a handful in the region that have the greatest impact on our future economic growth and viability of what is Greater Cincinnati. We've worked for a couple decades now to look at ourselves not just as southern Southwest Ohioans or as northern Kentuckians, but as members of a greater region that is growing exponentially. It's one of the biggest growing areas, if not the fastest growing area in the tri-state region, Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And I can say, as the immediate past president of the OKI Regional Council of Governance, that elected legislators on both sides of the river and in Indiana have bought into the notion that we are one region and that we work best if we work together as a region. So while you've taken the appointment of the governance structure of an asset that affects the 2.4 million people of Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, you've narrowed the scope of where the governance board, its members can come from to simply the Commonwealth of Kentucky, as opposed to from either Southeast Indiana or from Southwest Ohio, which was not always the case before. Even on advisory boards, there were direct appointments from Ohio that had an opportunity to have meaningful input and a say into the governance of the airport. And even under the old structure, you still had the opportunity for the appointment by the then judge executive of an Ohio representative or more than one who could be on that governance structure that actually made the decisions and had the votes. And that did in fact occur, you know, notwithstanding the issues and the problems that occurred under the old governance structure, if you will. That in my mind was a very positive step forward in terms of governance of this regional asset. So, I like the direction that it went in terms of broadening those who have a finger in the pie, if you will, of appointments. But I think that where those appointments come from need to be more reflective of who this asset represents and affects in a significant way, and that's Southwest Ohio and Southeast Indiana.
Chris, does Ohio need to get more of a say in this?
Well, from the beginning, I've always said I have no problem if you have an entity, whether it be City of Cincinnati or Hamilton County, have a direct appointment for someone on the board who could vote directly. I think that that long term is an ideal that I won't stop championing, quite frankly, because that this CVG is one organization, and there are many, many in our area who where it has been proven time and time again, the more we work cooperatively, the better everyone benefits from long term. But I think that there's the reality of legislation, and legislation passed in Frankfurt has a different feel for how sometimes people think in just Northern Kentucky. I think that probably those in southwestern Ohio feel the same way about their capital at times, that you know, necessarily the capital doesn't always speak for everyone in the community. So long term, I think this is definitely would be a good first step for something that we would work on long term down the road to maybe update again.
After the break, we will continue our conversation about changing the way CVG is governed, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. We're talking about Kentucky House Bill 208 and how it could affect the way Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport is going to be governed in the future. At this point, the bill appears to be stalled. My guests are Kenton County Judge Executive Chris Nalkeman, Hamilton County Commissioner Todd Portoon, and James Pilcher, Northern Kentucky reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris, what kind of reaction did you get with this proposal as you backed it?
Well, originally, as James pointed out, there was a first proposal that came from our state auditor, which was very broad and included more voting seats for Ohio. By the time we came out of the task force with the recommendation, to Commissioner Portoon's point, there were no direct appointments from Ohio residents. And we heard a lot from my constituents that said we don't want anybody from Ohio to have a direct vote. And I think that you know, is that a majority? How would it look if that were put to a vote of the community? I think it would look different than those who were speaking loudly about it. But I think ultimately, that's the kind of thing that drives legislation, because you have to be responsive to all the voices that are out there. I was surprised by that, because ultimately I think that we've got to be more inclusive, and we've got to make sure we cooperate in the best way possible for the structure oversight.
James, the bill appears dead for this session of the General Assembly. Is there any possibility of it being brought back up through other legislative channels before the session's over?
Yeah, I was actually talking to somebody this morning, and there's the option of that the House bills are closed right now, but there's an option of like last minute letting something in. There is an idea that they could attach it to something in the Senate and fast track it. Grant County would get a seat out of this, and that is included in the district of Senator Damon Thayer, who's the Senate Majority Leader. So he would get something for his district out of it. So if it made its way to the Senate, it would appear to have a fast track there. The question is, when it makes it over to the House, will it get any idea there? So that's why I say it's not dead. It's on life support. But, you know, we have 3 official sessions left, and they go right through midnight on Wednesday. So anything can happen. I do know there are people, you know, behind the scenes trying to still keep it alive. But given that it's got to find unusual channels, and there's a lot of bills trying to find unusual channels, you know, who knows? I think the basic question we have, and one of the things I wanted to talk about, is we're actually putting together a forum. Commissioner and the judge and some business people from the airport and business community will be involved as well at the Met Center tomorrow night, is that everybody tells us, we did a pre-poll of this, and everybody tells us that the two things they want out of the airport are cheap flights and the more flights to more cities. So sometimes those can be dueling goals, right? But so the basic question is, no matter how you change how the airport is governed, how well does that affect those two goals, at least from the community's perspective? So those are some of the topics we're going to be delving into tomorrow night, as well as talking about the pros and cons of different governance structures and the like.
And actually, if I could add to that, I think that's one of a critical point, because board structure in and of itself is never going to address the issue of rates or number of flights for airline use. But one of the things that we can celebrate as a community right now, you see added flights coming in, additional airlines, the board structure. The board has been operating in a very quiet manner and has not been on the front page of the newspaper except for us to celebrate the expansion of the flights, because we do have an airport that any city our size would absolutely kill themselves to have. It's not overcrowded. It's updated. It's paid for. A lot of great things happening. The challenge is that when you really do look long term, what kind of structure sets you up for the next 20 and 30 or 40 years of operation for board structure? And one of the challenges to Commissioner Portune's point with having representatives from Ohio on the advisory committee, one of the things that have now been delved into is the fact that the advisory members will no longer in the future be able to vote in committee. They can give their opinion, but they won't be able to chair committees, and they won't be able to actually have a meaningful vote. And again, that's a legal debate that's been going on because of what has come out of this of the audit. So regardless of what happens in the future, the efforts and some of the actions of some of the board members in the past have actually changed the board structure forever, in my view.
Well, I guess what I would say in response to all that is that we needn't be afraid of what the future might bring, nor should we not learn from the lessons of the past. One of the reasons that the airport has had, in my opinion, some of the difficulties that it has encountered is because some of the contractual agreements that were made under a fairly narrow in terms of representative board. And so the broader the representation that you get on the board geographically, the broader the interests that James referenced, I think, are going to be represented and pushed very hard, especially when you have so many of the businesses, the Fortune 500s that are located north of the Ohio River. You're going to get a lot of that in their corporate and their economic and their buying power that can really be brought to bear in terms of negotiating contracts with airlines with respect to rates and things of that nature. I would also add that we have experience in Hamilton County of broadening the scope of representation on transportation bodies, and it's worked very well. It's worked in a very positive way. Back in 2000, when I was on Cincinnati City Council, we were considering bringing in some low-cost carriers into Lunkin Airport. And as I think everyone's aware, there's been some intermittent success with that over the years in low-cost carriers coming in and operating out of Lunkin, mostly charter services, not a wide reach, but they've brought in some interesting new services to the greater Cincinnati area. What we did, though, is we recognized that Lunkin Airport, because of the situation of the runways and where it's located, that those flights are going to be going over northern Kentucky. So when we changed the nature of the airport board to meet the needs of the airport, we added board representation, voting representation, in favor of representatives from northern Kentucky, in recognition of this fact that Lunkin had a regional impact and therefore you needed to have regional representation. Similarly, with respect to the SORTA board, the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, dealing largely with our bus service, we made it a truly regional entity in 2008 and added voting membership outside of Hamilton County, even though Hamilton County is the appointing agency and the enabling legislative body. But we added voting representation to include Warren, Butler, Claremont counties, first of all, that being Southwest Ohio. And SORTA was encouraged to reach out and engage TANC with respect to more regional impact, with respect to seamless integration of service and things of that nature. They have done so. Tank's been wonderful as a partner with respect to engaging SORTA on that. Both Tank and SORTA unveiled recently some joint branding and ticketing and bus pass arrangements and things of that nature that's positive. So all I would say is that we are one region. We've been working very hard to brand ourselves as one region, and I think that the broader the representation we have on a board that governs an asset that is so important to the future of our region as the airport is, the better off we're all going to be. So I just am hopeful that in this pause, if you will, with respect to the legislation, maybe we can all go back to the drawing board and craft some legislation that might be more representative of who that airport serves.
Chris, is this something that could be changed administratively as opposed to having to go through a legislative process?
Well, there have been arguments that actually the board itself can change some of its operations. There has been arguments, legal arguments, that the Kenton County Fiscal Court itself can do so. The easiest way, if you want to call it easy, it was to get a restructured board in the KRS in the legislation in Frankfurt. So there are some definite avenues that we can visit after this session's over. But I will repeat what James pointed out, is it's not over yet. So we're hoping that we can still get something accomplished in the next few days.
Short of this bill being resurrected, what do you hope happens next?
Well, personally, my goal was to get it accomplished in this session because I think the community is ready to move on from the CBG argument and the issue of the board. We want the board to work progressively. We want it to work efficiently to accomplish all the goals that we have as a community, because we all want the same thing for the airport. And then it's going to be a case where we look for the right people moving forward to serve on the board, whether it be advisory or voting. If the advisory goes away, then you'd have a larger group. And it doesn't say, and to point out also, there are a lot of leaders in the Fortune 500 companies that are in Cincinnati. Many of their leaders live in the Commonwealth. And so there is a population of individuals who can be recommended, who work for P&G, for example, or PNC or what have you. And I'm sure there are plenty of opportunities for us to ask them to serve, and I'm sure they'd be responsive to it.
James, one more time, give us the information about the upcoming forum.
Yeah, it starts at 7 and runs till 8:30. It is at the Met Center. It is co-sponsored with the NKY Forum, as well as the Cincinnati Association. It's at the Met Center in Erlanger on Olympic Boulevard, right off there, off 275. We'll start gathering about 6:30, and it's going to run till 7. Like I said, Commissioner Portoon, Judge Knockelman, Barb Shemp, Vice President at the airport, John Reeder from Ready, they'll all be there, talking about the different issues from a business perspective, from the airport's perspective, and obviously the governance issue is going to come up as well. If you look on Facebook under NKY Forum, and there's an event out there, you can, it's also on the Inquirer's Facebook page, there's actually links and as well to take a survey ahead of time, and we're also working on ways to potentially live stream it if you can't make it.
And we'll have a link to more information about the forum at wvxu.org as well. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. Chris Knockelman, Kenton County Judge Executive, Todd Portoon, Hamilton County Commissioner, and James Pilcher, Northern Kentucky reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. After the break, the role the U.S. Space Program played in the Civil Rights Movement. And in Focus on Technology, a local firefighter uses technology to shed light on the issue of safety. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.